This is Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. Today you'll hear me finally talk to a show that's been covering Blizzard games for over 2 years. This is episode 268.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dark Iron and Magard, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro. It should come as no surprise that I usually record this show on the day before, so I'm recording this on Monday, which is not only a holiday here in America, it also happens to be my birthday this year. True story, when I was a kid, like 7 or 8 years old, my mom told me that it was called Labor Day because she was in labor for 3 days before I was born. I was a big guy even back then. On top of it being Labor Day, I actually ended up working today, a day that is usually a day off for me because, well, I need time to put the show together. So, happy birthday. At least the time and a half is not bad. Long story short, though, I'm a little pressed for time, but that's not a problem when we start by going around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds. Today marks a big day for content in World of Warcraft. The newest raid, Uldir, is now available on normal and heroic difficulties. Today also marks the start of a new PvP season and Mythic Plus season. The Warfront system in the Rothi Highlands should also be available, including faction-specific world bosses. For those waiting to dive into Raid Finder, the first wing will unlock next week, along with the Mythic difficulty and the popular race to World First. Mephisto, the Lord of Hatred from the Diablo franchise, is now available in Heroes of the Storm, along with a revamped Hanamura map. Season 12 of Competitive Play is underway in Overwatch. If you're not that big on Competitive Play, you can still participate in the Nanocola Challenge until September 10th to unlock a new skin and several new sprays for D.Va, who was the focus of Overwatch's latest animated short shown at Gamescom. In addition to all of the D.Va hype, the map for Busan, South Korea, is currently in testing on the Overwatch PTR. And finally, it's time for the hype train to BlizzCon 2018 to pull out of the station. The BlizzCon All Access Kickoff Show takes place on September 12th at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. You'll find out more about the BlizzCon goodie bag, the first in-game item for Overwatch available to BlizzCon ticket holders and virtual ticket holders, and much more. To get more info about all things BlizzCon and to watch the kickoff show itself next week, head over to BlizzCon.com.
Time's up. Let's do this.
It's once again time for show notes, where we take a look at what some of the many Blizzard game podcasts have been up to in recent episodes. There's a lot of new stuff out there, and you know I always like to start this segment off by talking about a new podcast altogether. This is a unique one for you World of Warcraft fans. If you like Warcraft, and you like to eat, as I do, as many people do, and especially like to cook, and if you like short, bite-sized podcasts, I've found the perfect podcast for you, and it is known as Snackzeroth, a spin-off of the Food and Fury podcast. This Snackzeroth is a very bite-sized podcast, only lasts a few minutes, but it's basically a Warcraft-themed cooking podcast to teach you how to make some awesome snack-sized foods that you can partake in with just a little bit of preparation, and a lot of munching and grinding while you're in World of Warcraft. This segment can be heard as its own podcast if you check it out on iTunes. You can also find it as part of the Frazzlecast and Lagging Balls podcasts. Taking a look at what some other Blizzard and WoW podcasts are up to, the Bard's Tavern on episode 26 had the creative minds behind the cosplay and art project group known as Project Ebon Blade. If you happen to be on Twitter and you've seen all these artistic Death Knight versions of all your popular Warcraft characters, that's what this is all about. I had no idea that there was cosplay involved in this as well. I'm definitely going to take a listen to episode 26 of the Tavern Bard, and I invite you to do so as well. Azeroth Roundtable had a longtime favorite guest of both Ben and John's, Mick Montgomery, formerly from the Starting Zone podcast, has been playing some Battle for Azeroth and paid a visit to the show to talk all about his experiences and much more. Spoiler alert, if you are looking for talk about the latest innovation from Taco Bell, not going to be on the show. It's still a great episode nonetheless. Behind the Avatar continues to roll on with new episodes. Lita talked to Remedies from Pwncast not too long ago. In milestone news, I want to give a shout out to Kevin from the Dark Moon Herald and the rest of his co-hosts on an excellent episode 200 that was recorded just a couple of days ago. You should find that on the Dark Moon Herald podcast feed shortly if it's not there already. Taking a look at Hearthstone podcast, the Blizzlet Hearthstone podcast is a bit of an explicit show, but if you don't mind a little adult language in your Hearthstone podcast talk, check out episode 58, which features the host from the 1600 Dust podcast. And also on episode 59, you will learn about a new host that has joined the show. The latest episode of Valuetown featured Shady Bunny, who many of you might know from playing Hearthstone as a big-time arena player, although Shady Bunny has expanded his horizons and tried other areas of the game. Listen to the latest episode of Valuetown to check that out. And shameless plug here, if you are a very casual player of Hearthstone and you want to learn a little bit more about the terminology behind the game, on the latest episode of Hearth Casual with Kevin Ellis and Brian Black, that's me, you can listen to, among other things, Kevin and I discuss the concept of card advantage near the end of the show and what card advantage is and what it means to you when you're playing the game. Last up, this is kind of a bite-sized segment, but we're going to end it with some Heroes of the Storm news. Specifically on the Heroes News podcast, Jules Scott got to talk with Jin from the No Tomorrow HGC team. It was a great interview, always a short, informative, and fun podcast. Do check it out. That wraps up your show notes for this week. Of course, there were over 80 podcasts that posted a new episode about one of your favorite games from Blizzard Entertainment. You know, if only there was a way to talk about every single one of them in just a couple minutes.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
That's right, folks, it's time for the weekly podcast roundup, an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covers a Blizzard game and produced a new episode from August 27th through September 2nd of 2018. Starting things off with General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Bard's Tavern, Battle.net News, Battle.net Sports, Blizzard Watch, Blue Cruise, Epic Fail, Group Quest, The Instance, Lagging Balls, Tank and Spank, Torn Think Tank, The Training Dummies, and Twist and Error Blogcast. For your World of Warcraft podcast, you have Adventures in Azeroth, AAE Podcast, Allcraft, Azeroth Roundtable, Behind the Avatar, Best in Slot, Countdown to Classic, Control at Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Decoded, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Girls Gone Wild, The Half Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Merely a Setback, Middle Finger Podcast, Pwncast, The Raider's Confessional, Rolling Restart, Snaxxeroth, Standing in Fire, The Starting Zone, The Torn and the Goblin, The Tone of Azeroth, The Worgen's Howl, Unshackled Fury, Whispers of War, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, and WoWhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 60-yard Dusty Egg, Chicken Around the Hearth, Blizzlet Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Can See, The Daring Reporter, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Powercast, Into the Wild, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, My Hearthstone Diary, Off Curve, Omnistone, Tier 5 Podcast, Vowtown, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Westmark's Workshop talked about Diablo last week, the Pylon covered StarCraft, Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes News, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Blackwatch Report, Roverwatch, The Cavalry, Enter the Iris, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Low Team Damage, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch Recall, The Owl Recap, and Watchpoint Radio. You can find the weekly podcast roundup with links to all of these shows and much more at realm-maintenance.com. My interview with the host from the Tank and Spank podcast is coming up after this.
Buxley is sanitized for your protection. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about exploring. Dear Buxley, there are new areas to explore. What can you tell me about them? Just like Northrend and Pandaria, two new continents appeared out of nowhere. I think it's like a plot to sell more maps. Anyway, I'm going to assume you're part of the Horde, only because I can read your letter. When I get an Alliance letters, it looks like Keck 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 to me. There are three main areas for Horde players to start in, and you can run off screaming into any one of these you like. I really don't recommend that because you get a lot of weird looks and you're likely to get killed pretty quickly. My suggestion is make friends in zones you start in, especially with Alola. The Loa are spirits. There are all kinds of Loa. There are Turtle Loa, Bat Loa, Giraffe Loa, Buffalo Loa. There's a guy named Juan Samdi. There's a Frog Loa and much more. Always start off things friendly. My advice to you is just to walk right up to one of them and say to a Loa, "Hello, Loa." They will need your help and they'll gladly reward you for it. By the time you're done exploring everything, you'll be able to say you have lots of friends in Loa places. Thanks for your question. If you want to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com.
Hello, Loa!
My guests this week have been podcasting since at least January of 2016, so you might say they're a bit overdue for being featured here, but hey, better late than never. With most episodes running between 30 to 40 minutes, the Tank and Spank podcast will give you a little bit of everything Blizzard. Here with me right now are two-thirds of the Tank and Spank team, Will and Chris. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello!
Hey!
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you finally on. You know, it seems like once or twice a year, I end up finding that there's a podcast that's been out there basically for well over a year, year and a half, and for some reason, I haven't featured them on the show yet. And you guys are it this year.
That's okay. We're like a fine wine. You just let it rest, you know, you let it sit in the cask, and eventually when you pop the cork, it's like, ah, so worth it.
You just needed time to age, okay.
Oh, that, we've gotten better with time, so that doesn't hurt either.
Also true.
Well, the fact that you guys are quickly approaching 100 episodes just goes to show that the show definitely has a lot of staying power, and I think that's something that any podcast listener is going to definitely be interested in. Will, you're the producer of the show, and from what I understand, the show is a spinoff of a general gaming podcast that you guys do. Can you just kind of take me back to what prompted the three of you to get together, get into podcasting, and specifically create a show for Blizzard Games?
Well, the initial thing was a bunch of us in the area wanted to make something that showed that, hey, North Alabama, we're not a bunch of hicks over here. We got a lot of cool stuff going on besides the NASA stuff. You know, we got a bunch of nerds, gamers, and just all over fans of all kinds of nerdy stuff. And a lot of the stuff that we saw was primarily either out of, you know, New York, California. You know, we had a lot of Midwest stuff, but we didn't have a lot of stuff from our area. So we decided, cool. And a bunch of friends decided to get together. We met Chris by doing this, and we dragged him into the fold, as it were, or battered ram himself into the fold. We're not sure which yet. But we decided to say, hey, there's a really cool idea that we want to steal from other people to make content, and that is, let's start doing a podcast. And so initially we had the Rocket Punch Cast, which is our just general, we love games, let's talk about them. And then that we all found out, we all play WoW. We essentially play everything from Blizzard except for Heroes. We really talk about it a lot. This needs its own thing. And that's kind of where Tank and Spank came out of it. So, which is nice because it took it from like a 3-hour podcast down to like an hour, 15, hour and a half on the main podcast. And we have 30 to 45 minutes for just Blizzard.
Awesome. So, Chris, as far as your background with Blizzard Gaming, how long have you, obviously all three of you have been playing World of Warcraft, as Will said, but how long have you been involved in playing Blizzard games? Does it go all the way back to the RTS days of Warcraft and Starcraft?
Pretty much. I originally played Warcraft 2 back in my technology classroom in middle school.
Nice.
Yeah, my teacher got us interested in that. I didn't really get latched on to the Blizzard brand until StarCraft. When StarCraft came on, that was it. Like, all of my friends in high school, we all would get out of school, immediately head home and play for 2 or 3 hours until everybody had to leave for dinner and then get their homework done and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was a rite of passage there when you would invite your friends to join you or whatever. It was just like such an epic moment, you know, getting everybody on to Battle.net. And it was such a chaotic mess trying to get everybody on way back then because it was nowhere near as easy as it is today. Not to mention voice chat was not a thing. So get good on that typing.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I got, you know, Warcraft 3 for my birthday and just followed it up from there.
Awesome. And Will, where does your history with Blizzard games begin?
Funny enough, mine also started in a classroom, but it was my web design class, and we were playing Warcraft 3. And that's what pulled me down that route. And, oh, man, Warcraft 3 evolved into, oh, they're making an MMO? Okay, I need to look at this. I ended up getting a job so I could get it while I was in high school. And it was working part-time after work to be able to play the World of Warcraft.
Nice. So, obviously, you guys have had a love for Blizzard games for quite a long time, probably longer than I'd say your average World of Warcraft player nowadays, because, I mean, while there's so many people that play the game, I'd say a minority have probably been playing Warcraft since the RTS days, so you got a long history with it. Chris, when it comes to Tank and Spank, again, its format's generally between 30 and 40 minutes. Can you take my listeners through the format of a typical episode of the show?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, the typically we'll go ahead and start everything off with, you know, our housekeeping type stuff, introduce people to rocketpunchgo.com, our website, let people know about our Patreon, et cetera, et cetera. And then from there, because we're a general Blizzard podcast, we actually have titles of all the different games and any news that are related to them or things that we want to talk about, we'll go ahead and list it out that way. In terms of the exact format, it kind of varies depending on who has the most interesting or largest amount of information that came out about that particular game. You know, and then obviously our own personal biases come into an event with that as well. You know, when Char Warbringer came out, it was like, oh, all hands on deck. Everything's going to that. We need to talk about this immediately kind of stuff. Or when pre-patch was going up, obviously World of Warcraft is taking center stage as we discussed all the burning of Teldrassil and arguing with Will about whether or not Sylvanas was 100% evil or 99% evil. You know,
no, she's not evil.
But yeah, so we'll just go down the list and, you know, any kind of interesting tidbits of information or interesting tweets that went out from some of the developers or anything like that, we'll go ahead and touch on those and kind of give everybody a little bit of love as much as possible, except for probably Heroes. I'm sorry, Heroes.
Oh, okay. So let's touch on this a bit since you've brought it up a couple of times right now, Chris. Why no Heroes coverage? It has everything.
But isn't that like half the problem? It's too much. I don't know. Will, I feel like your hatred burns a little bit brighter than mine does.
So it's not hatred. I used to play Dota as when it was a Warcraft mod. And I just feel like I grew out of MOBAs. And because it's at its core a MOBA, I have other things I'd want to do. If I'm going to spend that time, I'd rather hop into an Overwatch match or, you know, play some or do some quests or run dungeons and WoW or things along that nature. So it's one of those like, yeah, it's a cool game. It's got some free to play stuff in it. I've played the game and it's not a bad game, but it just doesn't hit my interests. So it's one of those, I don't talk about it because it's not my go-to Blizzard game.
And of course you have another host on the show, Cameron, who couldn't be here today. Is that also pretty much where he's coming from? Also not a Heroes player.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't play it at all. Really. I don't even know if he has it installed.
I don't know. I've uninstalled it a long time ago. I'm sorry. You know, the worst part is I don't have as much of a disinterest for MOBAs. Obviously, my biggest thing is I can't devote the kind of time into a MOBA as you do in order to get any good at it. But my thing is like the way the maps work, like everything's got its own gimmick. And it's like, you know, people can scoff at League of Legends or Dota for being like too simplistic, but at the same time, at least you know where you stand when you join in. Where with this one, it felt like every single time I joined into a group, it was almost like getting ready for a raid that you never played before. It's like, all right, what are the mechanics? What do we got to do? What's important? What can I not worry about? Can't handle it.
Yeah, in that way, Heroes can almost be like trying to learn 5 or 6 different MOBAs at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get that. Okay, no Heroes coverage really for the most part. I mean, I'm sure if there's news tidbits that pop up, you guys will bring up, hey, this Hero's out in Heroes, and then move on.
Exactly.
But as far as you guys mentioned personal biases, obviously whatever's hot is going to get a bit more coverage. Everyone's talking about World of Warcraft right now. But I'm just kind of curious, as far as the three of you go, who plays more of which game typically?
Ooh. I know Cam is in Overwatch a lot.
He is.
Yeah, I could be logged into WoW or Hearthstone or the other stuff, and half the time I'll see Cam in Overwatch. So I know, well, he's also a support main. So he's one of those guys, he gets a lot of the love on the post side from us, but a lot of folks tend to blame support. So I don't know, it's always fun seeing his reactions to things like that.
What about you?
Me? I'm Warcraft lore kid all the way through, so it's either WoW or Hearthstone.
Right. You do play a lot of Hearthstone. You're awfully good. He's legendary status here in Huntsville, I would say.
No, I'm not.
There's people lined up around the block to have their opportunity to take a shot at the king.
No, there are much better kids. They just happen to be on college campuses while I'm at my day job.
Yeah, right?
Ah, gotcha. All right, and so out of curiosity, you mentioned, you know, Warcraft lore when it comes to World of Warcraft and stuff. Is WoW more about the lore for you than is necessarily about the gameplay and the loot drops and such?
I'd say it's pretty even on that, but I do love a good story, and I've really fallen in love with high fantasy, and so WoW just essentially being in the high fantasy thing. We have mages, we have, you know, warlocks, we've got all that stuff. And that kind of just pulls me in. And it's like, even though I main a warrior, it's one of those, I still love seeing a good story that can revolve around any of those classes and aspects involving that.
Gotcha. And Chris, what's your go-to games? Where are you playing the most of usually?
Probably the same, World of Warcraft. I would say my heart is in StarCraft, but it's mostly for the same reason that Will mentioned. I'm a big lore guy in the StarCraft universe. So I'll run through a campaign in a weekend, you know, when it first launches or whatever. But after that, I'll play a little bit here and there. I like the arcade mode, but outside of that, I'm not a big PvP kind of guy. So, you know, I play it, I enjoy it, I get my story out of it, and then I kind of move on until the next book or expansion or whatever comes out of it. Besides that, I would say I'm not really great at any of the games. See, I main a hunter and I get a lot of flack for that. So it doesn't matter if I am like the best hunter in the game. Apparently, I'm still one of the worst players in the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to die. If you play a hunter, there's just a special kind of resentment for hunters. Just like it's a kind of a similar thing with mages and warlocks. If you play a warlock, mages are just going to hate you forever.
True.
If you play a hunter, everyone's just going to hate you forever.
At least I have my animal companions. They'll never leave my side. So now that I don't have to feed them treats anymore, like vanilla-based WoW, like they actually will never ever have any disdain for me whatsoever. So I'm all right. I'll be okay.
And, you know, awesome. Touching on the hunter thing, though, I always find that funny because everyone really hates hunters because they ran into a bad hunter at one point and it just ruined that whole evening.
Yep, that's pretty much it. You get that one bad seed and then your perception of that class is just tainted forever, at least for some people. For me, I don't really mind hunters too much. In fact, there's a hunter in our raid group who's top on DPS, so I respect some hunters.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so as far as the show goes, one thing that you'd mentioned at the top of the interview was that you guys wanted to show, you know, what a bunch of guys from Alabama can do when it comes to podcasting and such like that. Kind of leads into an interesting question. Just besides the locality of things, this question goes out to both of you. We'll start with Will first. What do you feel distinguishes Tank and Spank from similar Blizzard general news podcasts out there? Because I'd say there's about a little over a dozen that kind of each do things in their own way. What do you think gives Tank and Spank its identity?
Personally, I'd have to say, as far as the podcast goes, it's going to be our personalities and just our perspective. We're in a different area, and I believe your area does have an impact on how you perceive it and respond to things. And it does, at least in my opinion, give us a flair that many may not have, being at either out in the Midwest, California, Northeast, you know, that kind of thing.
Would you say that, I mean, you had brought up that a lot of shows, you know, record from like close to Los Angeles, New York, et cetera. Would you say that gaming just isn't as mainstream where you guys live compared to those more metropolitan areas? Because I know that one thing, just over the course of the past couple decades, it's been a gradual thing where there's been kind of a stigma about gaming as a hobby. And then over the years, especially thanks to the advents of things like podcast streaming and stuff like that, it's become more and more mainstream. Is that still an issue in Alabama? I'm just curious because me coming from Ohio, I can say that being a gamer in Ohio, when I talk to people and I mention my hobby is gaming, they're like, well, I hunt, I fish, and hardly anyone brings up gaming.
out where I live, that is much more common than gaming, because I'm out in the boonies. Now, one thing that is actually fairly popular in Huntsville, though, is tabletop gaming. But it's much more popular than actual PC or Mac or console-based gaming. So we actually have tabletop cafes in here where people go and play board games and that kind of stuff. But Huntsville is very different than the rest of the state because we have a lot of rocket scientists and engineers here, where the rest of the state is more agriculture based. So it gets very interesting on that side.
Gotcha. So while most of the state being rural and stuff like that, Huntsville's kind of the exception to the rule, really.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Chris, of course, we are approaching that very special time of year where we get the biggest announcements of the year dropped from Blizzard with BlizzCon. I'm not sure if you guys are attending or not, but one thing that is kind of typical with Blizzard and news and stuff is that those 4 to 5 weeks before BlizzCon, things get really, really quiet. They're holding on to all of their cards because they want to save them for the big reveals at BlizzCon. I was just curious, you guys have done this for a couple years, so you've been through a couple BlizzCons before. How do you guys handle that vacuum of news in the weeks prior to BlizzCon?
Well, first off, BlizzCon, greatest time in all year. And I feel like I'm holding back the entire group this year because I have a wedding to attend. So I am not able to go. And everybody was
Is it your own?
No. I've been married 10 years. Okay. to a WoW fan, actually. To a
nice.
Priest, so. but in terms of BlizzCon and, you know, trying to get through that drought there right beforehand, I mean, like Will said, we do a lot with the lore aspect. So we will sometimes rely on, you know, passages from the Chronicles or something along those lines or Deckard Cain journals or something to try and pass the time when we're completely out of ideas. And on top of that, this year, we're very fortunate. So every other year, you've got an expansion that drops for World of Warcraft. So we have stuff to talk about. Like, we have interesting things where we may be giving more personal takes on what's going on with us and how we're, you know, seeing certain things and experiencing certain parts of the story that maybe we didn't get to right when the expansion launched or whatever. So, you know, we'll have plenty to talk about. But in terms of the actual news part, you kind of just go with the flow kind of thing, you know, do what you can with what you will, you know, talk about things that are going to be coming out soon and maybe the impact that they're going to have. So, for instance, if we wanted to talk Diablo news, we could talk about, you know, purchasing Diablo for the third time because it's now coming out on the Switch and, you know, what it would mean to buy the game for three different consoles, even though clearly we're only going to play it on one of the three at any given time. So
it feels like it's trying to give Skyrim a run for its money. How many times can we re-release this game?
Apparently at least four.
Well, hang on. It came out on PS3 and 360,
mm-hmm.
PS4 and Xbox One. Now we're getting it on the Switch, plus PC and Mac. I don't know. I mean, can I get it on
versions.
I get it on a toaster next?
I'm still waiting on mobile. I'm telling you, mark it in stone. It's coming.
Well, Skyrim is playable on Amazon Echo, so Diablo needs to get on that.
Mm.
Yeah, they got to step it up there. I'm kind of disappointed, Blizzard.
I need my treasure goblins.
All right. Well, of course, Battle for Azeroth is going on, going really strong right now. We're recording this about 2 weeks from the launch of the expansion. Will, just what are your general impressions of this expansion compared to your Legion launch experience? How are you enjoying Battle for Azeroth when it comes to just kind of the overall big picture, leveling the story? How's it all going for you?
Well, I actually got to take a part in this launch experience. One of my best friends got married right as Legion was dropping the last expansion. So I had to go be in the groom's party. So I was like, well, I guess I don't get to play WoW day one. So I got to pass on that. But I really enjoyed the leveling experience. I feel like the story, because it wasn't about an enemy we've been fighting forever, and it was a little different, it actually pulled me in more. And so it wasn't just the big green fell monsters that we're having to fight that are trying to take over our planet. It was like, oh, let me see the plight of the Voldenai. Let me see what's going on in Zendalar. And just that kind of stuff. So that pulled me in. And I still have to experience the whole Alliance side of it. So it's going to be interesting for me. But I've had a lot of fun.
And Chris, how about you?
Right around the same. You know, I'm really digging how I feel like they've gotten much more character driven and not necessarily scenario driven. So instead of just worrying about like some, you know, almost ambiguous shadowy figure, insert name here type of situation. Instead, you're seeing what's going on with Jaina and how she has to, you know, come back to her family. And after everything that happened in Warcraft 3 with us being, you know, way old school lore guys from the original, it's like, oh, man, this is going to be intense. We have that personal connection with that character, you know. And same with the Horde side, you know, I can't wait to finally run back into Vol'jin, who's been teased by Blizzard that there's a chance we're going to have some more interactions with him. So I'm really digging that. And, you know, obviously just raid content, dungeons, all that kind of stuff is a blast.
It's typical for me to save a number of prediction questions for when people will hear us again at the end of the year, but I want to toss one out there for this interview right now. Horde versus Alliance Battle for Azeroth. Who's going to win this war, this conflict when everything's said and done, Will?
So I'll go ahead and say this. I don't think there is a winner, just because of the old God content creeping in, and you kind of see that on the edges of everything. So mm-hmm. I think they're starting like Pandaria, where, you know, Horde's the aggressor, you know, Alliance is responding, and then we're going to spin into, oh, hey, we have to deal with this, or it's going to corrupt the World Soul or something along like that. So I don't really see an end to the Horde and Alliance conflict, because I believe if that ends, the game will start to fall off.
Chris, do you think things are going to follow that same familiar pattern, or are we in for a twist?
Well, I would say that, you know, there will always be a Horde and Alliance, in my opinion. So you're never going to see a complete resolution to the conflict at large. But honestly, with the ruthlessness of Sylvanas, I think the Horde would take it, right? Like, I want to be pro-Alliance all day. I bleed blue over here nonstop. But at the same time, like, crying Anduin versus, you know, Sylvanas, tree-burning Sylvanas, I don't know, man. I my money's on the Horde.
But Anduin going, did sorry. Get blood on his sword.
Oh, I remember that. That was kind of cool. But you got Zappy Boy on the Horde. And with Zappy Boy, I mean, how can you possibly? It's insurmountable.
I have a feeling that the true hero of this expansion will be Zappy Boy.
Agreed.
It's only a matter of time.
If he's not in the final cinematics for this expansion, I'm calling for a mutiny against Blizzard.
You're on notice, Blizzard.
Well, I think this gives listeners a relatively good taste of it, at least what you two are about, and I definitely invite everyone to check out Tank and Spank so they can get the whole experience with Cam joining you two. Will, can you let my listeners know how they can get best connected with your podcast via social media and other means?
Social media for Twitter, we're at Rocket Punch Go. That's our main, just not one-stop shop for Rocket Punch Cast, Tank and Smank, all of that. We share everything from there. If you want to see everything we're about, rocketpunchgo.com. That's the main place where you'll see all of our content release. You will see the occasional written piece we'll do. We also stream on the main podcast on Twitch. So it really just depends, but we have it all on our main website. Now, the Facebook, I can't remember that one because I'm not one of the guys that manages that one. Chris, you know that one, though, don't you?
Sure. It's go to rocketpunchgo.com and click on Facebook.
Bam! That's go. What I was going to say. There's a Facebook logo on that page. Just click it and you're there.
That's the way to go. That's the problem is when you get a name like Rocket Punch, there's just a Rocket Punch Go, Rocket Punch Network, Rocket Punch Live, Rocket Punch whatever. It's like we had to jump through a lot of hoops to get it all set up. So rocketpunchgo.com, that just head there. It'll take you where you need to be.
Sounds good. Chris, Will, thank you very much for being on the show this week. Best of luck to you guys in the many more episodes to come for Tank and Spank, and an early congratulations on the inevitable 100th episode.
Thanks, Rao.
Thanks for having us on.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Ben, you have to help me decide where to go first.
In the new zones? You mean for like the pet battles? Well, let's see. I was thinking that I was actually...
No. Ben, not pet battles. World domination. This is the battle for Azeroth. And I want it.
The pets?
No, Azeroth. Should I consolidate my power base here or form new alliances over there to strengthen my stranglehold on the throne? Or... do you think just gold will open the doors? But then, how can I be sure nobody
Aludra,
is...
Aludra, you do know that you don't actually get to take over Azeroth, right?
I'm head mage! I can do what I want.
While Aludra is having delusions of grandeur, make sure to check out episode 130 of Battle Pets, Battling for Azeroth, where we talk about our first impressions as well as the multitude of pets available.
Okay, so this here is the new flag for the Kingdom of Aludroth. I renamed the world because it's mine, and I want it to be difficult and everybody to sound funny.
I expected it to have pink and, you know, bunnies on it.
No, Ben. Everyone knows that bunnies aren't followers. That's why it's fire and death! Now they'll know what happens when they cross me!
But I like bunnies.
And that's how I won the war, Ben.
All right, it is time for some RNG. And what does RNG stand for this week on the first episode of September? Well, sometimes it stands for random number generator, never here. Today, it stands for Rambunctious Nemorous Gymkhana. That's from @thegoldqueen on Twitter, and points to her because I had to look up what Nemeris means, and I had to look up what a Gymkhana is. So, Nemeris means it's a highly forested area, and a Gymkhana is a competition where riders and horses display a range of skills. So, I'm seeing a rambunctious Nemeris Gymkhana as this elite, you know, secluded equestrian competition that only a few elite horse riders can participate in, and as far as it being rambunctious, well, yeah, you got me there. Well, that's random for you. This week, I want to talk about Battle for Azeroth. We are 3 weeks into the newest expansion, and while I talk about this plenty on the Rolling Restart podcast, I kind of wanted to give a blanket overview of my initial thoughts about how I feel about the expansion, the good, the bad, and the, maybe not the ugly, but the meh. So, my leveling experience, I felt, was mostly solid. I was leveling as a Shadow Priest. It got to be a bit rough near the end, hitting level 117, but the leveling process was kind of meh, but the storyline was fine. The interesting thing about this whole leveling experience for Battle for Azeroth, and mind you, I've been playing Horde side, is that it only felt like Battle for Azeroth during the introduction quest and the war campaign moments, and of course Island Expeditions, I'll get to that in a second. I imagine that Warfronts coming into the picture this week is going to make it feel even more like Horde versus Alliance, and I'm not sure if the lack of Horde versus Alliance during the leveling process was a good thing or not. It's like there was all this hype, all this buildup for, like, you know, red versus blue, and you have some of it, sure, but so far for the Horde, this has been trolls, and more trolls, and Vulpera too, because we cannot forget Vulpera. You must remember who your best friends are. I do. They pull my wagon through dunes of sand, but you need to quest in Voldoon to understand this. I'm sure many of you have already on Horde side, and if you play Alliance, you need to play a Horde character and quest through Voldoon to understand this. Moving on, Island Expeditions are great. They're better with friends. The rewards, it's kind of an interesting thing to talk about because, of course, Island Expeditions are the evolution of Scenarios. And I remember when Scenarios first came out in Mists of Pandaria, they were great. You know, you got experience, I think you got rep, you got crafting mats and all this nice stuff. And then not too far into the life of Scenarios, the rewards got trimmed down quite a lot to the point where a lot of people didn't run them because they weren't that big a deal. Now, Island Expeditions have their main reward of being artifact power, or rather Azerite that you need to accumulate to get a big artifact power bonus that's a part of a weekly quest. And of course you get some artifact power for just flat out winning an Island Expedition, but a lot of people are complaining that the rewards aren't worth it. And to them I say, maybe Island Expeditions aren't for you. The primary function of Island Expeditions are to give you a big boost of artifact power over a relatively short amount of gameplay. There are also a ton of vanity awards to be found through the Island Expedition system. I have yet to get really much of anything from it, but that's because I haven't been playing on Mythic difficulty, which is where most of the vanity stuff is going to come from. However, I must say that just running Heroic Island Expeditions, I have so far, from Island Expeditions, received 2 Bind on Equip, 3 eye level 325 fish weapons. Yes, there are fish weapons in Battle for Azeroth. They are one-handed maces, they are caster weapons, and they are freaking amazing. I got one for myself, I gave one to Ben the Mage for his healer Pandaren, and yeah, who says weapons don't drop in the expansion? I would say Island Expeditions prove otherwise. But I understand most of the complaints are coming from Mythic Dungeons and the lack of weapon drops. All I can say is, give it a week or two, guys. Raid Finder's coming soon. Of course, Normal and Heroic are opening up this week. Weapons are going to drop. Give it time. Give it time is something that can be said for a lot of this early experience. So we don't even know what's happening in patch 8.1 yet, so relax, slow down. Moving on, I want to talk about world quests. They are an interesting kind of thing. They are the main way that I have geared up my Shadow Priest. I need to talk about the fact that it's not always a Shadow Priest, too. Okay, I'll get to that in a second, but it's the main way that I've geared up. They're getting a bit long in the tooth, though, after just 3 weeks. And I was trying to figure out, why are world quests not interesting this time around? Why are they not as exciting or as engaging to me as they were when Legion came around? It just feels like the rewards aren't diverse enough. Right now, for rewards, you have golden rewards, which are insignificant, when I can literally use herbalism, pick two plants, and it made far gold than the reward from the world quest. You have artifact power, which is a standard reward and nothing I really have to complain about. It's kind of your go-to reward for a lot of these world quests. There are reputation commendations, helps you out on the rep grind. As far as I'm aware of, though, these quests are going to be a bit blah if there's no Paragon reputation system after you hit Exalted, which is currently the case. I don't know if those reputation rewards will just no longer appear. I don't know if those reputation awards will be a possible reward once you are exalted with a faction, if they just replace the reward with something else. I would hope that's the case. I will see what happens with that. If Paragon rep grinding comes back, then great. One thing I noticed is that Paragon rep grinding has my followers on Twitter very divided. There are a lot of you who hate the Paragon rep grind system, and there are a lot of you who didn't mind it, though you wish there was a bit less RNG. We'll see what happens. Paragon rep grinding is not a part of the game right now. Will it be at all during this expansion? Perhaps by BlizzCon we will know. Pet battle quests are also a thing. As someone who does not mind pet battles as all... As someone who does not mind a pet battle or two a day at all, and someone who listens to a podcast about battle pets, I'm perfectly fine with pet battle quests, and if you don't like the pet battle, then just don't do those quests. The variety is fine, I don't think that's a problem. War resources are fine for people who are doing mission table stuff. For people who aren't doing mission table stuff, they're going to tend to avoid those. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, yes, there's a variety, but the problem is there's not an interesting variety right now. World quests worked well in Legion because they were an evolution of the daily questing system that we've known for years. The Battle for Azeroth model doesn't really do anything radically different with world quests. If anything, I think it takes a step back when you consider that Paragon rep grinding, once Argus was out, was a thing. Since we don't have that, world quests have kind of taken a step back. And I wonder if anything will be done about it. I remember seeing, was it on Twitter or was it just in the Q&A? No, I think it was addressed in the Q&A, where Ian Hazacostas said, there will come a point where, for some of you, world questing won't be as lucrative or as a necessary thing anymore, and that's fine. So hearing him say that kind of leads me to believe that this is pretty much what we're going to get on world quests, and I'm a little disappointed about that, but perhaps I'll be proven wrong. I want to see a little bit of innovation in world quests. I want to see something new, something different, and I don't mean a shell matching game. I don't mean making logo. Although I do those quests, and I'm perfectly fine with it. But a shell game? Can I just say that a shell game world quest isn't fun because there's no risk? There's like no stakes at all. It's just, oh my gosh, if you don't match things, you just take longer to finish it. If you're going to play a shell game, I want a shell game with stakes. I want a shell game with, you know, a little bit of a challenge added to it. Not one where it's just click, 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 done, turn in. I'm totally rambling. I need to get to the point that I'm no longer playing a Shadow Priest in World Quest. You know, you would think this would be an obvious thing, but I leveled as a Shadow Priest. I started doing World Quests. for, you know, a week or two. And just a few days ago, because I thought that maybe I should start learning how to play my healer spec in case that's needed for filling in a raid or maybe running a dungeon, I decided, okay, let's try discipline, because from what I've heard, it's a healing spec that you damage enemies and heal your friends at the same time. So I thought, okay, that sounds cool, why not? I embraced the discipline spec, did world quests with it, and I have to ask myself, why did I let myself level from 110 to 120 playing Shadow Priest? Because discipline is so much less stressful than running Shadow. I can be attacked by 5 or 6 mobs as discipline, and I will not die. I just keep on throwing shields on myself, I keep on damaging things, holy noving, throwing up dots, and eventually I get through the thing just fine. I took on one of those level 122 bosses for a world quest that normally you hop into Group Finder and get a raid of people into. I soloed one of those level 122s down to about a third of its life left before some other people came by and saw, oh wow, that thing's about to die, I'm gonna get a quick quest complete. Just the sustainability of Discipline Priest in solo content is insane. It's on par with having a Voidwalker out in playing a Warlock, and it's crazy. So, oddly enough, Discipline right now seems to be my favorite spec playing a Priest. I think I'm going to stay Shadow for raiding. We'll see about that. Depends on how much our raid needs healers. Man, I did not see myself being at this point in the expansion and saying, yeah, I'm taking care of gear for my discipline spec. If you told me I was going to be running discipline 3 weeks in the Battle for Azeroth, I'd say you're crazy. And yet, here we are. Just once again, I'll be talking about WoW on this show. I'll be talking about it on the Rolling Restart podcast. And there are going to be many times in which I'm critical, just like I've been critical of world quests and such. Just remember, guys, that I may be critical, as maybe other podcasters talking about WoW, but there's so many of us that are still playing every day, we're enjoying what we're doing, and we're only critical in certain areas that we may not be fond of, because we love the game so much we just want to see it be better for ourselves and for our friends that are playing it. I can't wait to get involved with all the new content that unlocks today, especially the Warfront system, although I think I may have to wait a few days for that because I think Alliance gets to do that first, which, man, that Blizzard Alliance bias, right? But, you know, today kind of feels like a patch 8.1, and that's great with all the new stuff we're doing. It kind of makes me wonder if we're going to see or hear anything about 8.1 before BlizzCon, because honestly, folks, at this rate, I don't think we are. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press that play button and defend or lay siege to Stromgarde, depending on what faction you are and what day of the week it is. Once again, a lot of stuff happening in Battle for Azeroth today and this week, whether you are a normal or heroic raider, someone into PvP, running Mythic Pluses. There's a lot of activities out there for you, and I hope you make the most of it. And as I said earlier on, you know, don't kill yourself. Don't go hard into things and burn yourself out. We are just less than a month into this expansion. Enjoy it. Savor it for what it's worth. I will be doing the same, partially because there may or may not be one or two other video games I am playing along with World of Warcraft right now. Hi, Dragon Quest XI. Hi, Spider-Man. Of course, Realm Maintenance is part of Realm Maintenance Productions, which produces not only this show, but the Rolling Restart podcast for you WoW listeners. And for you casual Hearthstone players, there's Hearth Casual for you. All of these shows are supported by people like you. Sounds like a PBS statement, but yes, it's true. People like you who go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. I am very happy with the support that people have shown all of my podcasts over the years. And we got a couple of new patrons, actually, just over the last week or so. I'd like to give a big shout out to Ken P. and Christopher F. They are new $5 patrons of the show. Of course, you can pledge as little as $1 or as much as $20, or you can go super freaking crazy and make me figure out what the heck I do for a $50 or $100 tier. but again, patreon.com/realmpodcast. Every bit of help is appreciated, and you don't have to show your support there. You can always support the show by just 5-star reviews on iTunes, talking about the show, retweeting it, telling your friends about it. All of that is always appreciated. If this happens to be your first time listening, you can find this podcast in a lot of different places like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. And of course, don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard games. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. That's it for 268. In 2 weeks, it's time to check up on a long-running Overwatch podcast with a new team of hosts. Tracer, can you tell everyone who's going to be on the show?
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2018, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks again to Will and Chris from Tank and Spec for joining me this week. Once again, you can follow that show on Twitter @RocketPunchGo. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
Sylvanas and Jaina square off in new battle over boat suppression. It's the Overly Dramatic News, I'm Hunts the Wind. While relations between the Horde and Alliance have seesawed between cautious cooperation and open warfare, one constant on Azeroth has been the ongoing battles over intellectual property. An unexpected new front in this war of ideas opened recently when Sylvanas Windrunner filed suit against Jaina Proudmoore, alleging the mage infringed the Banshee Queen's copyright on, quote, dramatic entrances through parting clouds via aerial transport methods that defy the laws of physics, unquote. Sylvanas claims that on or about August 7, 2018, she was conducting defensive operations on the ramparts of Lordaeron when she witnessed Jaina arrive on the scene in a flying galleon. This entrance was so similar to how Sylvanas arrived at the Battle of the Broken Shore that the Queen screamed in frustration, causing the deaths of dozens of nearby Alliance and non-Forsaken Horde. The suit seeks monetary damages for Sylvanas' emotional distress, compensation for the loss of value of the dead soldiers, partially offset by their value as risen skeletons, and a cease and desist order on the further use of the aforementioned galleon. Miss Proudmoore's spokesmage said she was unavailable for comment due to a previously scheduled trip to visit family, but that this latest move by the Queen of the Forsaken was a very shippy thing to do. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter @HuntsTheWind.
Buxley may cause drowsiness. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about herbalism. Dear Buxley, what can you tell me about herbalism? Herbalism? That guy? Oh, Mr. Herbalism is the vendor way out on the coast of Zuldazar. Herb has a lot of great deals on... Wait a minute, you mean flower picking? Well, that's different. Herbalism is fairly easy, but it can be confusing. You can be out in the middle of the jungle with plants all over the place, and yet you can't pick any of them. Then other times, you'll see plants sticking to the wall or the side of a tree, which you can pick. You have to be very careful of these. Most of those are real, but there are some jokers in Azeroth that think it's pretty funny to suction cup fake herbs to walls. If you hear a loud pop like this, then that's a fake herb. People that practice herbalism are pretty easy to spot. You can be riding around discussing strategies about how to handle a particular bad guy, and the next thing you know, you're riding alone. You look for your companion, and they're way behind you, staring at a flower. Now, don't get me wrong, herbs are great. You just have to be sure that if you're with an herbalist, you aren't in a field of flowers before you go charging off into battle. Thanks for your question! If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com. Herbs are money, friend!
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.